Welcome to the teaching ministry of Life Church. We exist to honor God through reaching our city and touching the world with the amazing love of Jesus Christ. Now, let's join Senior Pastor Rick Shelton for this life-changing message.
I want you, as you do, we're going to read our scripture in just a moment, but I want you to stand while I open this up today. Now, this is different. If you're new here, this is your first time here, this may seem a little different for you, and I think it will bless you, even if you don't know the Lord today. Because what we've been doing the last few weeks is focusing on reaching our friends and neighbors. And, I'm tying in with, I wasn't here the last 2 weeks, but Mike started. Listen to this, because I want to tie my message today in with theirs. And we're focusing specifically on next Sunday, Easter Sunday, challenging people to invite their friends and their relatives and family members, neighbors, so forth next week. 2 weeks ago, and just listen to this, 2 weeks ago, Pastor Mike Limp, told us about how he talked about expectation and how that, our lives are lived. We should be lived expecting things from God in our life, for God to do great things in our life. Like in services, he mentioned that, the Holy Spirit moves in a beautiful way, and we come expecting God to do something in our lives. But then he turned that into saying that also that our life is an expectation of someone else's life. Now, I love that. What does that mean? That means that there are other people outside, not only of this church, but who aren't going to church, who don't know the Lord, or maybe they once walked with God, or once, regular church member or tender, listen to this now, but they're away from God, and you or I may be their expectation of God's working in their life. They don't know that we're that expectation. You know what I'm saying? Understand what I'm saying? But Mike was talking about how that we should view ourselves as maybe that we are the expectation of God in other people's lives. And I love that. And he talked about how in Mark chapter 2, remember the story where the friends broke up the roof and let their friend down, and they brought their friend to Jesus, and the house was full. But how these friends, and I love this thought, Mike talked about how that the friends couldn't heal the man, they couldn't change the man, they couldn't solve his problem. But they just knew they had a broken friend, and that all they could do was do whatever they could to get their broken friend to the place where God was moving. I think that's brilliant. It's genius. Don't tell Mike I said that. But it's just brilliant. They couldn't do it. Have y'all ever had people in your lives that you just wish you could change them? But I love this, dude. I talked about it. All they could do is do everything they could to get him to the place. And boy, they worked hard to get him there. And broke up that roof to the place where they say, okay, Jesus, here he is. We got him here. And then God, or Jesus, did the work that needed to be done in his life. Isn't that beautiful? And so anyway, then Jack last Sunday talked about the way to reach people for Christ is to be Jesus to them personally. In other words, that it's just you hanging out with them and loving them and sharing your life with them and just getting involved with them, investing in them until that you earn their trust and credibility, and so that you can have that opportunity to invite them to come to that place where God is moving, to come to the house of God. And Jack said this, he said that the invitation inviting people is not the whole thing. It's the last thing. That it's not the first thing or the middle thing. It's the last thing. The invitation is that you live your life investing in them, just building. He gave us five things. You remember what they are? You got those things? I got the card right here. The five things are: pray for them, connect with them, love them, build relationship with them, and then invite them. And so anyway, today we come to this moment, and this is going to be a little strange, and I'll tell you why in just a minute, but I want to talk about that last thing. I want to build my whole message today in these next few moments around just the whole idea of how important it is to invite people to come into the house of God. Or, I mean, when I say the house of God, wherever God is meeting or moving. You know, it could even be a home group, you know, where that there's a home group and you, that's where God, it's like with those guys that broke up the roof, maybe that's the home group, you know, and then you get them there. But it could be next Friday night. It could be that Good Friday celebration. So I'm not just talking about Sunday, but also especially right now, next Sunday's Easter, and we just know it's the way it is. We are a religious society, and people who don't go to church think about going to church any other time of the year. They're more open to going on Easter Sunday. And let's capture that opportunity to get them here also on next Sunday. Amen? All right. So let's read this passage of Scripture. In the book of Luke, chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. Now, when one of those who sat at the table with Jesus heard these things, he said to him, "Blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God." The guy was actually being very religious. Then Jesus responded to him and said, "A certain man gave a great supper and invited many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, 'Come, for all things are now ready.' But they all with one accord began to make excuses. The first said to him, 'I have bought a piece of ground, and I must go and see it. I ask you to have me excused.' And another said, 'I have bought five yoke of oxen, and I'm going to test them. I ask you to have me excused.' Still another said, 'I have married a wife.'" That's the only one I could kind of halfway understand. And "therefore I cannot come." So that servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, now listen to this, "Go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in here the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind." And the servant said, "Master, it is done." Now, y'all know that didn't just happen in 2 seconds. When Jesus said, "Go out and do all that," then it all happened. Who knows how long it took? And then the servant came back and said, "Master, it's done as you commanded, and still there is room." Then the master said to the servant, "Go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them." It doesn't literally mean hedges, you know, for us. You know, you don't go hunting people's hedges in the front yard, but it just means go everywhere. Go everywhere. The high places, the low places, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. Say that with me. That my house may be filled. For I say to you that none of those men who were invited first shall taste my supper. Let's pray. Father, please speak to me and through me today. Anoint my lips and speak through them, and anoint my mind and think through it. Love people through me, God. God, I just pray, God, that you would anoint me for this purpose today. And Father, open the ears of the hearers today, that our lives may be changed. Father, we just give you thanks in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. 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 All right, you can be seated. You can be seated. In this passage of Scripture, here's what I want you to see. The context of this story is simply this. If you start back at the beginning of Luke chapter 14, what you find is that Jesus had been invited to a dinner, and it was a big deal. It was quite a banquet spread because he was invited to the house of and invited by one of the chief rulers of the Pharisees. She had quite a big house. And Jesus was here in this banquet that they were having. And it was filled with Pharisees and lawyers. And the Bible says in the earlier part of Luke 14 that these Pharisees and lawyers, watch this, they were there watching Jesus closely. In other words, they didn't have pure motives. They weren't there just to celebrate and have fun. They invited Jesus there that they may catch him in some kind of violation of their church rules, their religious laws. And sure enough, Jesus found one man there. Who knows how he got invited to this thing? But this man was sick. He had the dropsy. What is the dropsy? I don't even know what that is. You know what the dropsy is? Whatever. Thank God we don't have it today. But anyway. And so he had the dropsy. And Jesus calls the man out, knowing the mindset of all of these Pharisees and lawyers. And he takes the man and he heals the man, knowing full well that he is blowing wide open, breaking the religious church rules of these Pharisees and lawyers. It blows their mind. And then he sees their feathers getting ruffled and they're kind of getting perturbed. And he starts seeing in them the pride and the arrogance. And then he starts speaking to them in the middle of Luke 14 about, hey, you guys come here and all you're doing is looking for the best seats in the houses. You know, you come in here vying for position because you all want to look important. You know, in your religious setting, in your church rules, you know, y'all want to find the best seat because, you know, you all know that if you're right there on the front row, that means you're real important. Are y'all with me today? And so he begins to talk to them about those things. And then when he does, one man speaks out. I can almost hear the tone of his voice, a religious tone. Dear Jesus, concerning the things that you're saying, he said, I must say, blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. I mean, brother, this guy just thought, I'm going to just really gain favor with Jesus. And then out of that, Jesus tells a parable. Do you all remember just a few weeks ago when I was sharing a message where I talked about the parables of Jesus and how that when Jesus spoke about the king, no, that was actually in the conference that we did. So maybe some of you missed that in the conference that I did for several days, I talked about how that when Jesus taught about the kingdom of God, he spoke to the crowds in parables. And why did he speak to them in parables? He spoke to them in parables because parables are simple stories that the people could relate to that hid the truth. They were designed to hide the truth. Did you all know that? You remember the disciples coming to Jesus and saying to Jesus, Jesus, why do you speak to us so openly where we get it? And then to all these crowds, you speak to them in parables. Are y'all with me now? And then Jesus speaks this Old Testament scripture. He pulls out of the Old Testament. He said it's a fulfillment of the prophet Isaiah, who says, because their hearts have become fat and dull, they see, they look, they see, how does it say? They see, but they do not see. Or they hear, but they do not listen. In other words, they're hearing, but they're not really hearing. They're seeing, but they're not really seeing. And he says, the reason is because they're not ready. Y'all listen to me now. And so I talked about how that parables are designed to hide the truth. Jesus, here in this moment, takes and decides to give a parable about the kingdom of God. He says, okay, you talk about blessed is he who eats bread in the kingdom of God. Let me give you a parable. Are y'all still with me today? Now, listen to this. So Jesus gives this parable about the kingdom of God. The reason I gave the whole context of this parable was for this reason. Remember, as we just read the parable is all about one thing. I mean, you can't look at this. The Bible's real simple. You may try to make it complicated, but it's simple. You cannot read that parable that we just read to you, in our opening scripture, and not say that the one thing it's about is inviting people to come where God is. Inviting people to come where there's a banquet table spread in the kingdom of God. He talks about going on inviting people. The first people they invited had things to do, excuses, they wouldn't come. Jesus says, fine, leave them alone. Go out, invite other people who are lame, maimed, you know, hurt, whatever. And they invited them. There was still room. He says, go out on the highways and the hedges and invite them. He said, that my house may be full. He says, this is a parable of the kingdom of God. And here's what it's all about. He said, it's about inviting people who are in need. Remember, he says, the lame, the maimed, the poor, the people out on the highways, the hedges. What is he saying? He's saying those people who feel like they're all right, maybe just because they've got plenty of money now, or because they're not hurting in their body right now, or because everything's going okay in their family right now, that they have too much to do and they don't want to come. But Jesus said, that's fine. There are plenty of people who are in a crisis moment in their life, and they're open, and you need to go out and invite them to come in. Yeah. Are you listening to me? So the whole thing was about inviting people, and I believe the context that we painted to you here in Luke 14 of these Pharisees and lawyers in this great banquet is actually a picture of the church today. So much of the church, what Jesus is saying is internalized and focused so much on the people who are already there. When you notice that Jesus focused on the one person who somehow got in there, who wasn't a Pharisee or a lawyer, he was just somebody who got in there who was broken and hurting and had a need. And that's the one that Jesus focused on. So in this, first of all, here's what I'm doing. The reason I told you this thing is going to be a little different or strange today is because I'm not usually into a lot of statistics and all this stuff, but I'm going to give you some things today because my whole idea is I want to show you how inviting people to church, or it could be, like I said, to a thing like this Good Friday thing, or it could be to a home group or whatever, inviting them to come. I want to show you how that's a central part of being a Christian. That's what he's telling us here. And so here's what I want to do. First of all, I want to give you a list of seven things that I pulled out of this parable of invitation. In other words, these are things that are important. Watch this. Number one is this. We see in this parable that God believes in a full house. And I'm not talking about playing cards. But God wants to play with a full house. And it's very clear that God feels very strongly about the house being filled. Folks, it's real simple. I don't think in complex ways. To me, I look at this and I say the whole thing is about inviting people to come. And God says it's so that my house may be full. Which tells me that God is saying to us, he's saying, here's the way it is, folks, in my kingdom. He says, I don't want people coming to church just internalizing their relationship with God and just kind of loving each other and patting each other on the back and having all their special events and, you know, and saying, hey, aren't we really doing good and don't we have a beautiful church? You with me now? But yet at the same time, the house is not full. In order for God to be happy, the house has got to be full. Are you with me now? And so anyway, this is part of what we're doing is we're just challenging you. What if we fill the house? It's not just for one Sunday, but it certainly would be a beginning. The second thing we find in this parable is this, and that is that what we're inviting people to is a banquet. In other words, church is to be like a great royal banquet with the table spread. It's a family affair, not religious, but relational, joyful, helpful, caring, meaningful. What I mean is this, listen to me. You know what? When we invite people to church, let's just say if you have someone that family members or coworkers or neighbors or friends or some acquaintances that you think, you know what, I could invite them. Here's what you're not inviting them to. Sometimes we make the mistake of going to people and then saying, you know, hey, why don't you come to church with me? And all we have said is church. And we don't understand that so many people out there have been hurt by church experience or disillusioned by it. I meet people like this all the time. People who grew up in church or once were part of church, but something happened, somebody did something and it hurt them, or just church didn't mean anything to them. When they went to church, the message just was, you know, religious and didn't hit the button, you know what I'm saying? And just didn't help them in any way. Or, you know what I'm saying? It was too religious and all those things. The world around us and all of our acquaintances around us, folks, they are full of people who are just like that. And if we just go to them and say, hey, won't you come with me to church on Easter Sunday? Then immediately that conjures up for them, or it brings back to them every negative thing that they grew up with. You're with me now? And that's what they're thinking about. So we're not inviting that. I love the fact that in this parable, the focus on, he says, this is what the kingdom's like. It's like, here's what you do. You invite people to come in. To what? To a banquet. To a royal banquet. That's why, folks, anybody that knows me knows I believe in this. You know, church is to be, first of all, let's hear this. Here's what a banquet to me means when it comes to church. The church is to be, when you preach a message, baby, you better have some good food. You've been cooking for a long time. I mean, slow cooking in the oven. I mean, you know, that kind that like grandma you cooked, you know, that's got all the seasons, all the ingredients, got all that. And baby, where you stick your fork in it, it just, you know, I mean, just pulls apart and you put it in your mouth and angels dance upon your head. You know, when you put it, y'all know what I'm talking about. You know, if you're going to preach the gospel, if you're going to preach the message of Jesus Christ to people, and people come and be helped, then you've got to spread a banquet table. And so many people you will invite, they haven't been accustomed to that. They're accustomed to messages that don't really relate. Or, you know, yes, folks, the Bible says, and you know, and on and on and on. You know what? They need to hear a crazy man like me. Yeah. Right? Yeah. This is, you know, because we believe in spreading that table where that each thing, even when you're talking about just inviting, think of that. If I told you last week, next week we're going to talk about inviting people to church, you never think that in the message even that in some way it might touch you and you would sense God's presence in the whole thing. But you spread this banquet table. To me, inviting people to a banquet means that church has to be, look, we're dead serious about, very serious about what we're doing. But in my opinion, while you're serving God, whether it's in church service, out of church service, it's got to be a blast. If it ain't a blast to me, it ain't God. I mean, I know you go through a lot of pain. I understand that. Life is not a bed of roses. But I'm talking about even in the midst of the pain, that it's got to be a blast. If there's not joy in it, it can't be God. Because in the presence of the Lord is fullness of joy. And a lot of people aren't, when you say, hey, would you come to church? I mean, they're not accustomed to, you know, a happy place, you know, joyful place. Amen? Yeah. And so when we're inviting people, it's when we're inviting them to a banquet, well, what does that mean? It means we don't just say, would you come with me to church? You know one of the greatest things in the world that you can do? When you come to people that you know, and I'm talking about inviting people that you already know, is that we can come to them and tell them what we've experienced. In other words, you say something like this, hey, you know what? I would like to invite you to come with me to where I go to church because, you know what? Since I've been going there, my life has been so changed and I have been so helped. You can't believe it. I'm more joyful. I feel like I'm growing. I'm not as afraid as I used to be. Y'all know that's what I'm saying. You know, I used to have insecurity. I don't feel as insecure. I meet such beautiful people there. You know, it's wonderful. I really genuinely experience God in the worship. And when the preacher gets up, oh, you know, he's just a crazy guy. You love him. You'll love him. You missed a great opportunity there. Anyway. Right? So number three, we've already spoken about it, and that's invitation. Invitation is the method, for filling his house. Number four, invite, we find this parable, to invite those who are open. Invite those who are open. I actually already spoke about that. You know, it's interesting. Let me just say this before I go on from that point, that just on Friday, 2 days ago, that there was a guy that came to our house for heating and air conditioning, and he sat down and talked to us for a while, you know, and did what he needs to do and everything. And it's very interesting. Here's a guy in his 30s, just looked on top of the world. And after he finishes, Donna says to me, she just suggested, she says, Rick, why don't you give him one of your books? And if you know me, Donna and I are opposite in this way. I'm always real backward about that. You know, it's like, And she said, I'll give him one of your books. He goes, what, you got a book? And she says, then sign it. And I said, oh, he don't want me to sign a book. And he said, yeah. And so anyway, so I signed a book and I gave him the book. And so then I started telling him a little bit about my story in the book. And here's kind of what it's about, you know. A pastor, you know, we started this church, we grew this huge thing, and then all of a sudden I went crazy and, you know, and life fell apart and, you know, and whatever, you know, just burned out and 6.5 years of this stuff, and I even had an anxiety attack. And here I am, the pastor, you know, and I'm telling him stuff, and I could tell it's like blown his mind that he's hearing a pastor tell stuff that you wouldn't expect a pastor to tell. And I began to tell him how God began to restore me. And here this guy who looked on top of the world, he started opening up, and he told me, he said, well, you know what? He was actually a salesman for this company. And he said, you know what? He says, I'm really experiencing a lot of this same stuff myself, this stress. He said, I'm stressed. I'm having difficulty sleeping, da-da-da-da-da, on and on and on. And so I started talking to him about simple things that he can do, giving him advice to help him with this so he can turn the thing back around. Talking about physical things, you know, dietary things and other things, you know. But then after I did that, oh, he was so thankful and happy. And I saw, here's a guy who's at a crisis moment. He's at a moment where he's feeling real stress. You know, he's having difficulty sleeping. And so then I said to him, I said, one more thing. I said, let me ask you. I said, we talked about your body and, you know, all your chemical system, everything. I said, but how are you treating your spiritual life? I said, are you really taking care of things there? Boy, this real confident guy, all of a sudden, he just like, you know how the whole demeanor changed. He goes, oh, no. I said, you're not? I said, you mean we're talking about all this stuff about your body and your adrenals and all this stuff, and you're going to want to take care of that, but you're not taking care of your spiritual life? He began to tell me story how that he grew up in the Church of Christ, and, you know, and thank God for Church of Christ and every other church about Christ. You know, but if you know Church of Christ, you know that they don't have music, you know, no music. That's not, God doesn't allow music, right? So there'd be no music in heaven. You all understand that, right? And it's just a very staid, you know, setting. And he grew up in that, didn't mean anything to him. He left that after he grew up. And wife has had some other experience, you know, where she was kind of a little negative. But here's what I told him. He says, no, and he said this. After telling me this, he says, but you know what? He says, I know I need to get back in church. He said, I've been thinking that. And here's what he said. He said, I've got an 8-year-old, a 3-year-old, and a 6-year-old, I think it was. And he said, I've been thinking about those kids, and they've never been to church, and I've been thinking, they need to be in church. And so then I started telling him, listen to this. There's a point I'm making here in this whole conversation we're having. I've never mentioned church myself. He's the only one mentioned it. And we've never mentioned anything about, well, you need to go to church or all this. I said, when he said this, but yeah, my kids, I've been thinking they need to get to church. And you know what I did? Instead of talking about church, I said this. I said, well, let me tell you something. You grew up in a Church of Christ, you know, went away from that. I said, you're telling me you feel like you need to get back to church? I said, yeah, church is part of it. But I said, can I tell you a story real quick that may blow your mind because you may never have heard it? He said, yeah. And I began to tell him a little bit of God's dream. I told him what God made us. He made us in his image, which is just like him, and he made us for love. And the reason that he made us where we could fall instead of not fall is because that he wanted love. And in order to have love, he had to create us to be able to choose not to love him, because if we couldn't choose to not love him, then our loving him would mean nothing at all. And so Adam and Eve had the ability to choose not to love him. So when we choose to love him, it means something to him. And I said, this whole thing's about a love relationship. And it blows my mind that God created us in the image of himself to somehow, in some way, you remember me telling you this in that conference. I said to him, can you believe this? I said that he made us. He's the infinite, uncreated creator. I mean, I was saying it just like I would you. I said, the infinite, uncreated creator. I said, he owns all things, is all things, created all things. Everything that is exists on the inside of him, because there is no place that God is not. Now listen, I'm telling you, I said, and God made us finite creatures in a way, in his image, to where that when we love him and he loves us, his love not only means something to us, but our love means something to him. That when I say I love him, that it blesses him. I said, what in the world is that all about? It's certainly a whole lot more than about just church. You should go to church to find this stuff. And I said, let me tell you something. Here's what it's all about. I said, it's about relationship of love. I said, so I want to challenge you. I'm going to give you a simple little project. He said, okay. I said, we gave you that book. You said you're going to read that book. He said he was. I said, it's full of scripture, and there's little points that's going to touch your heart in different ways. I said, when you get to the first point of scripture that's an answer for something and it touches your heart, I said, get down on your knees and quote that scripture back to God and thank him for touching you with this scripture and speaking to you, you know, and just tell him, just thank you for it, Lord God, and help him in this area of his life. I said, if you just do that, I said, it'll blow your mind what happens to your life. He said, okay. Now, I didn't invite him to Easter because I just felt like that was it. Stop right there. But he's coming back on Monday or Tuesday to my house. And that's when we come to the final step. Y'all out there now. You know, when I thought about that story just now, we're in this point about, you know, speaking to people who are open. Can I tell you this? I've got a whole list here, and I'm not going to get to all of it, but do you know there are lots of people who right now, if you would invite them, that they wouldn't be interested. It's just they're not ready yet. Remember about the parables again with Jesus? He knew that. There are people who just aren't ready yet. But can I tell you this? Every single person you know, at some moment, they're going to be facing something. Something will change. There'll become a loss. There'll become a sickness. There'll become a loss of finances. Whatever it may be that happens, something will happen. And all of a sudden, that person that wasn't open will become wide open. They will become the poor, the lame, the maimed, the blind. Are you with me? And I realized, whenever I gave that book to him, after Don encouraged me to, started telling the story, and then he started opening up and telling me what was going on in his life, I realized this man had just come to that point. And so I knew now's the time to go for the gold. Are y'all with me now? That's so beautiful. All of you know people in your life like that right now, today. And there may even be people that you don't know they're there right now. But if you just begin to talk to them, then you'll find that they are open. Somebody said amen. Amen. All right, let me finish these last few things. Number five is some will say no. I already said talk about that. Number six says we find this parable talks about compelling them, which just means this. When he says compel them, it just means this, and that is that just because you reach out to someone one time and they say no doesn't mean that that means no. It may mean wait. And you just go back and just keep loving them. Wish I had time to talk about that, but I don't. But let's go on to the last one. The last one is bring them. Bring them. He says, I love it when he says invite them. He says, and bring in here. Yeah, that's what he says here in this parable. He didn't just say invite them. He said, bring in here. This gets into some of what Pastor Jack talked about, and I love this, that really what inviting means in this context is not just say, hey, you know, why don't you come to church? But it means this, after you practice all that I just told you in the last point, it means showing hospitality to them. And I realize that Jack talked last week about some of this, and that is that it may mean meeting them out in the parking lot, bringing them in. It may mean hanging out, you know, with them after service. It may be going to breakfast before service. It may be going to lunch after service. Are you all with me now? You know, that there's a statistic that goes like this, that when someone is brought to church, even if they're brought to church by a friend, and even if they have a good experience, that if they are contacted, or in other words, if there's interaction with that person who came within 24 hours after they came by a friendly believer, then they are 80% likely to return. But if they are not contacted for a week or interacted with for a week afterwards, they are 20% likely to return. Now, I find that as an interesting thing. As I said, I'm going to give you a few statistics here in these last moments, but isn't that fascinating? And it motivates me. It should motivate us. That it's just to say, hey, come to church, and then someone sits over there. You come, you sit with them. And then you contact, you get with them afterwards, you know, have lunch with them or something else. Because that will mean the difference very possibly from a 20% likelihood of them coming back to an 80% likelihood of them coming back. Do you know that 20% likelihood of them coming back? Do you know, ready for this? Here's the next statistic, that if it's not a fellow believer, if it's not just a believer in the church that contacts them and interacts with them, but instead if it's a pastor or a church staff member that contacts them, it goes way down below 20%. In other words, when a pastor contacts them, they are less likely to come back. Something's wrong there. I don't know about you, but if a believer comes, isn't that interesting? To me, it stands to reason because, you know, no matter how hard somebody like me tries to fight against the image, that out there there's this idea that as a pastor or the staff that, you know, you've got other reasons, you know, that you want them to come. But you're just a fellow believer. Y'all with me now? Come on, say yes. Can I give you this just for fun? You ready for this? When researchers ask new converts, what was the major, in other words, these are new converts, people have been unchurched, just came, now they're just come into church, born believers, regular churchgoers, they ask them this question, what was the major influence in leading you to Christ and the church? Here was the responses. Number one, church advertising was 2%. So 2% church advertising. Number two, the pastor, 6%. Now again, something is wrong there. Isn't it interesting? You know, don't you find that interesting? As much as we focus on the idea of some great pastor or pastors, that only 6% said they've really found coming to Christ in church, 6% was basically because of the pastor. Number three, organized evangelism programs were 6%. But number four, friends and relatives inviting was 86%. Isn't that something? Friends and relatives inviting was 86%. Look at this. I want you to look at this passage with me here in the book of Acts, chapter 10, verse. Actually, we're going to look at verse 24 and then verses 44 through 48. And then I'm going to close this off. Look at this. And the following day, they entered Caesarea. This is Jesus and, it's Paul and his scribe that was with him. It's Peter. This is Peter here. We'll get the right guy in a minute. This is Peter. Remember, this was the occasion when Peter had a vision, actually, and this big, sheet let down, and then Cornelius sends some guys, because God tells him to go get Peter and to come preach to them. Now, Cornelius was waiting for them. Now, look at this next statement. And had called together his relatives and close friends. He called together his relatives and close friends. While Peter was speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision who believed, in other words, the Jews, they were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then Peter answered, can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they asked him to stay a few days. Now, I find this so fascinating for this reason. Watch this very closely. Whenever Peter was coming to preach to Cornelius, Cornelius didn't just show up himself, but he gathered all of his relatives and his friends. And this idea hit me that when he gathered all of his relatives and friends, everyone that he gathered got saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. And I had the thought that what if Cornelius had gathered more? Because however many he gathered, that many got saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. I want you to think about something and just imagine this. What if you invited all your family and your friends, and they all came, and every one of them that came got saved and filled with the Holy Spirit? What would that mean to you? When I say that, maybe in some people's minds a question kind of rises and say, oh, well, that'll never happen. Well, you're probably right, because God moves through faith. And when we reach out to our neighbors and friends and our relatives, no matter who they are, you've got to do it like you do everything else, by faith. Are you with me? How, just like the friends knocking the roof open and letting their friend down, getting them to the place where God was moving, how in the world is God ever going to touch your relatives and your family and your friends and your coworkers if you don't do what it takes to knock the roof open and get them here? And you get them to the place where God is moving. And if you did that, and God saved every one of them, I'll guarantee you, it would rock your world. It would change your whole year. Y'all still out there today? Now, I close with this. Listen to this. What is the problem? Why is it that we have such a difficult time of God loves us, God blesses us so much, so many people here, we can have testimonies of how much God has blessed us, but yet we have a problem with this inviting. And what is it? And I'm going to tell you, there's two problems. Here they are. One is with us, and one is with the unchurched. First of all, us. You know why we don't invite? It's because we're intimidated. We're intimidated by people who we want to invite, people who are unchurched, because we feel like that I don't know, they might bite our head off. Or at the very least, they'll say no, and we're afraid of people saying no. And so number one, we are intimidated. And we've got to ask God to free us of that intimidation and move out in faith. But number two problem is this, and that is that the unchurched has a problem, and that is that they are intimidated too. And you know what they're intimidated by? They're intimidated by church. In other words, let me tell you why. And this is proven. I could give you all these. I got these things written down here, but just to save time, let me just say that when you invite someone to church, remember that the person that you're inviting them, number one, matter of fact, let me go ahead and give you this list because I think it'll help you. Here it is. The unchurched are intimidated by church because, number A, this, look at this. They don't know anybody there, so they feel alone and insecure. In other words, it's just like anything else. Y'all ever go somewhere, somebody invites you to something, and they know everybody, but you don't know anybody, right? And so what happens? You immediately feel weird. You feel intimidated. You know, it's just like you almost don't want to be there. You ever been somewhere like that and you almost don't want to be there? Everybody else knows each other and you don't know anybody? So you're the outsider. You've got to remember when you invite them, they're the outsider. We don't view them that way, but that's the way they view themselves. And so they're coming to place. They're just like, I don't want to go. I don't know anybody there. So what does that mean for us? You ready for this? Listen. What it means for us is that's why we've got to realize that we have got to show them hospitality and bring them so that they don't walk in the door by themselves into a place where they don't know anybody. We've got to be a friend to them. And when we come in, we start introducing them to people and tell them, hey, about this person. And you tell people about them and then tell them about other people. And, just get them to know everybody so that they have a good time. In other words, when you invite someone to church, if you take up this challenge to invite people for Easter Sunday, next Sunday, your whole job, listen to this, your whole job next Sunday would be just to host those people that you invite into this house. That would be your whole job. Because they don't know anybody, you know everybody. You don't invite them and then you going off and, meet all your friends, have a good time, and they're standing there. You introduce them and then you take them out afterwards, all the things that we already said. Secondly, this, the unchurched are intimidated because they don't know what's going on. They don't know what's going to go on in the service, so they feel out of place. In other words, some of them think there's really scary things that happen in these places. Are you with me now? They don't know what's going on. Now, let me tell you something. We are a spirit-filled church, and so there are things that happen sometimes. You're like speaking in tongues, and we pray for the sick, and you do different things. Listen to me now. Listen. But can I tell you this? I personally have never found an unchurched person or an unbeliever who is offended by the tongues or the praying for the sick if they properly understand what's going on. That's why whenever we usually, have these kind of experiences, I'll usually explain that this is what the Bible says. This is what's going on here. And they've got to know that it's in the Bible. Does that make sense? But here's the thing, they don't know what's going on. So part of our job when we invite and bring them is beforehand, tell them what's going to go on. Tell them what's going to happen. Tell them how the worship's going to be. Tell them it's probably going to be a little different and tell them in the ways it's going to be a little different. Talk to them about how the service is going to go. Tell them how long it's going to go. Are you with me now? When it starts, when it ends. Talk to them about these things because the more they know about what's going to go on, the more comfortable they will feel. Isn't that the way you are? All right? The last thing is this. The unchurched are intimidated because the building is a strange place, so they don't know where to go or what to do. It's a simple thing, isn't it? And we don't think about it. But whenever you go, again, we've all had this experience. You go into some place, maybe for some concert or something. Or who knows what it might be. Maybe let's say you got a new job. You go into work the first day, and Everybody's running everywhere fast. They know exactly where they're going. But you don't, y'all remember the first day on the job? And you don't know where you're going? And you feel like an idiot. You feel like you've got like some kind of neon sign on your face that says, I'm an idiot. New guy, new girl. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Well, you know what? It's no different for people who come into church. You ever seen those people walk in the front door and they walk in and they kind of look around like this? You know what I do if I ever see that? If I ever see that, I go for them. I mean, I make a beeline for them. No one should stand there and just kind of looking around like this, you know, wondering which way do I go? Where shall I take my kids? Where's the bathroom? Your job is if you bring people, and even the people you don't bring, when you're seeing people around, if they look like that they don't know what's going on, you are the host. Are you with me? You know, but if you're bringing people, then, you know, you tell them when they walk in the door, you tell them, say, this is the lobby. See this? Over there, right there, that's where your kids of a certain age, you go, you take them there. As a matter of fact, let's go right now, and we'll sign them in. I'll sign them in for you. And then we'll take your kids, other kids over here, and I want to introduce you to the children's pastors, and here's who they are. Y'all, that's what I'm saying. And we'll put your kids here. Now, your kids are going to be okay. It's really good. We'll come back and get them right after service. And then you go back out in the lobby, and you say, now, see, this is the coffee bar. And let's go get a coffee here and a little something. You know what I'm saying? A something. And good. And then see right there. Now, probably you're going to have to use the bathroom because you just drank a coffee. And so there's the bathroom right there. That's the men's. You with me now, huh? I mean, look, they don't know where the bathroom's at. You know, there's the men's, there's the women's, you know. And now let's go in, before church starts, let's go in the auditorium and see here. Here's where the auditorium, what is going on, and yada, yada, yada. And here's it, and we're going to just sit down now. Y'all still out there now. If we will live like this, then people who come, they will be free then and comfortable to experience God. They won't be worried about things. I close by saying this, folks. Here's an entire message today on inviting people to church. Can you believe it? But can I tell you this? I had one goal today. I wanted to show you how centrally important inviting people into the house of God is as a Christian. As a Christian, it's to be part of what we do. Yes, we go out and preach the gospel. We tell people about Christ. But also, the Bible is clear here that inviting people into the house of God is very important. So let's all stand to our feet, and I want to tell you this. Now listen to this. I want to challenge you to do this. I want to challenge you to invite as many people as you can, family and friends, for next Sunday. Now you can invite them for a Good Friday too, that's fine. And now watch this. Listen to me carefully. Why are we focusing on next Sunday? First of all, we said people are more open. But secondly, this. Next Sunday, I'm beginning a series of messages, as Anna said, on taking your life back. That's the name of the book that was just published, which is my story I was talking about earlier about this dark hour that I went through for 6.5 years. Physical failure, health failure, adrenal failure, anxiety attacks, all kinds of things. And then God brought me out of the thing. And next Sunday, now listen to me, I'm going to begin a series that's going to last for probably 4 or 5 weeks. I'm starting it on Easter for this reason. And that is so that we can take all these people who we invite to come. And that we can, I'm going to say some things next Sunday that they won't expect a pastor to hear. In this series of messages, it's just simply a story about going through something terrible and coming out of it victorious, and how that anybody can do that. And the things that I will be saying over those next handful of weeks will relate to anybody, because everybody goes through stuff. Are you with me now? And if you invite them, they will be hearing me talk about the things that I did, that I blew it myself, and how I messed up, and how it affected my health, and But then the things that God did to take me through. I'm going to talk about some of the physical things that I did, you know, that helped my health. But also we'll talk about the spiritual things, and we'll put it all together. And I believe that God can use this Taking Your Life Back, series to touch a lot of our family and friends. I would even maybe suggest you go one step farther. What if maybe some of you would consider taking the book? We have them out in the lobby, right? Taking the book and getting it for them and giving it to them this week and say, hey, would you consider start reading this week, that this is what this is the pastor's story. This is what he's going to begin talking about on this next Sunday. Are you all with me now? All right. And I believe God is going to give us a harvest. Can we all join hands together, if you will, right now?
Thank you for being part of the teaching ministry of Life Church. Our hope is that you take this message and apply it to your life in a practical way. If you would like more information about this ministry and you are in the St. Louis area, call us at 314-843-5575. If you are outside the St. Louis area, call us toll-free at 1-800-610-LIFE. If you would like to write us, our address is 1416 Larkin Williams Road, Fenton, Missouri, 63026. Or visit us at our website at lifechurch-stl.com.